Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of things, maybe even a little breaking news off the top that we both, Jared and I, just discovered. Hit that. You got NFL this week, huge fun game probably coming up tonight with the Pack and the Cards. 6-1 Green Bay, 7-0 Arizona. Some injury news from that one. Tough break for Arizona, especially on that defensive line. Also hit what the other games on the week in the NFL, the big games coming up this week. College football, Oklahoma State with the snoozer against Kansas this week. Or will it be? Wasn't for Oklahoma, but Oklahoma State hosting Kansas at inside Boone Pickens Stadium. I think a couple of things that would be of note just to kind of keep going with the momentum that OSU has created. OU will welcome Texas Tech. Interested to see what Tech's attitude will be, what they'll bring to Owen Field with what's happened this week out there with Matt Wells being fired. Sonny Cumbie is going to take over as the coach. Who's next out at Tech? I mean, there's one name that makes a ton of sense to me, but I kind of did some texting as soon as that news broke about Matt Wells, and it was almost a not-so-fast-my-friend type thing. So we'll talk about that. OU's defense, how can they turn the tide against Tech, and then also Caleb Williams. I think we saw maybe a little bit of youth in that first half against Kansas and trying to iron those things out for him. Last night, World Series Game 2, Houston ties it up with a 7-2 win over Atlanta.
They could hear the trash cans last night.
Talk about that game also. Anything change in your mind so far in the series, just in the first two games? By the way, Game 4 could be very, very interesting. If the reports of a certain person being in the house are true, get ready for the let's go, Brandon.
Oh, my goodness.
He's not going. There is no way he'd show his face there. But another guy that would elicit that type of...
He doesn't even know what day it is, less when the World Series happens.
But another guy that would elicit that exact same response may be there. Reports are saying he will be there, Game 4. It'll be much must-watch TV. And, oh, by the way, Thunder won last night.
Yes, they did.
Some really crazy numbers from that win, and I'm telling you right now, just like T.O. said, get your popcorn ready for 2 o'clock because Jim is going to detonate Russell Westbrook.
Oh, right.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things. 3 radio stations, the Penny News. You'll pick up a free copy of the Penny News. It's starting to filter out everywhere as we speak. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, the Elks in Clinton, Friday night, at 7. Merritt up at Fairview, same time, 7 o'clock there on Paragon TV. And then also next week, high school basketball. Craziness that it's going to start being there on Paragon TV as well. And the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say. Find it on KADSAM.com or iTunes. And if you find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe because then it'll alert you when a new one drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Windblown.
Yes, I'm walking with a lean today.
This is one of those days our college golf coach, Coach Perkins, Cecil Perkins, he would always tell when we were about to go to like Abilene, he would say, boys, be sure you got your rocks in your pockets. And this is one of those days,
yeah.
Like yesterday. Put some rocks in your pockets so you won't blow away.
Yes. It's a wind. This is it's pretty crazy.
High wind warning.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't had any red flag warnings. It's usually that time of year. It's a little drier out there at the wind. And they haven't said anything about that. I wonder if it's wet enough, I guess. I don't know.
It's pretty surprising, I would agree, because this was fire. It's kind of fire time.
You're going to see the wind whip the power lines. You'll see some sparks maybe. So I'm surprised that hasn't happened. So even though they're not talking about it, still be aware of that. And be aware if you're driving, too. I was thinking about that driving in. You know, we both drive on the interstate coming in. Passing a truck, I thought, man, hope a gust of wind doesn't blow this guy over on me. So be aware of that. Be careful out there if you're driving those high-profile vehicles.
No doubt.
It's going to be a windy day.
We got to go back to Mountain View tonight for some hoop. And I know it's supposed to start to die down as we move along through the evening. I just don't know when that's going to happen. It may not be till overnight hours. But I was thinking as we go down 152, it'll be a little bit, you know, back and forth and a little bit nervous, a little nerve-wracking. But as soon as we can shoot her south on Highway 54, or 152, then south on 54, we might be able to coast.
Yeah.
With the way the wind's blowing.
Just, you know, extend your sail. Rise your sail up.
Exactly.
You'll get there. It is crazy windy. Now, this creeps in my mind, you know, what's it going to be like tomorrow for the football game? And they're saying during the day, north wind between 18 and 25, wind gusts as hard as 39. But they're saying Friday night, north wind between 5 and 9, becoming calm after midnight. My question is, when does it go from 18 to 25 to 5 to 9?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it may be one of those where the first half conditions are a lot different than the second
half
conditions.
Well, what game was it where it was like that?
It was here, wasn't it?
It was here.
Chickasha?
Where it started calm and then the wind showed up.
Was it Chickasha? See, I was thinking about the other way around.
I think it was Chickasha.
Then last week down at Cache, it was kind of windy to start and then it died down. And then all of a sudden, it was like the front came through.
Yeah.
Because then it was blowing out of a completely different direction.
So I don't know. It depends. I mean, that might play a factor into the game, you know? I mean, but both teams like to run it a lot, so I don't suspect it would
that's
play
not
too
where
much
it,
into a factor.
Listen, that's not where it matters.
Kicking?
It's the kicking game.
Sure.
It's the special teams. It's the having to punt it into the wind after, you know, somebody kicks it into the end zone. Mm-hmm. You know, those are when the field position is created. I was actually watching the Clinton Heritage Hall game from earlier this year, and it was a windy, windy day.
Yeah.
You could hear it whipping into the microphones. And when you were going left to right on the screen, I saw, you know, Clinton hit a punt that was like a 6-yard punt. And it took off and then just started blowing back. Or a kickoff. It was actually a kickoff, I mean, where they're trying to do like a deep onside.
Yeah.
Didn't get it solid enough. It went straight up in the air. Next thing you know, Heritage Hall fair caught it on the Clinton side of the field.
Yeah.
You know, and those are just things that happen. And it really, really makes the kicking game a lot more difficult and a lot more important in those games. So, you know.
Something we'll have to monitor
tomorrow. I think offense, defense, it's not going to make near as much of a factor, be near as much as a factor, especially early if it does start to die, if it, you know, dies down throughout the game. But it's definitely something to watch for sure. All right, last night the Astros come back in game two and they win 7-2. To even the series at a game apiece, Jose Altuve, seventh inning home run, was his 22nd of his career in the postseason, tying Bernie Williams for second all-time. Do you know who's number one on that list? Who's hit the most career postseason home runs?
Reggie Jackson?
Nope.
Who is it?
Manny Ramirez with 29. Reggie's a good guess. But here's the thing. Back then, they didn't play as many games.
That's true.
They didn't have, you know, the extra series to be in. Heck, well, Reggie was playing ALCS is you know, Mickey Mantle at the time. You know, that just went straight to the World Series. So all his postseason home runs are World Series home runs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So things have kind of evolved as we went along. But Altuve, as I said, made it 7-2. But Jose Urquidy was great on the mound for the Stros. 7 strikeouts through 5 innings. And Houston, as you would kind of expect from a team that has the pedigree that they have, has come back and won game two, even in the series at 1-1, with that 7-2 win. It's also the 7th win this postseason by 5 or more runs for the Astros. That ties the all-time record set by the 2007 Red Sox in a single postseason run. So, you know, the Braves get the, you know, steal the first one on the road. So now they go back for three straight at Atlanta, tied 1-1. Have you seen anything in this series so far in the first two games that would kind of completely change your opinion of what you thought might be happening to start?
Not really. I mean, I thought early with the Braves, how they came out just on fire. And that's typically what you'll see with an underdog, I think. They come out with that spunk that, hey, we're the underdog. We're going to come out bats roaring and try to get the leg up on this one. And they did. But then, you know, I kind of expected them to continue that throughout the game, and they didn't. And then Houston came out and did what I thought they'd do. Listen, I hate them. I hate the Houston cheaters. I hate them. But my opinion of this series was they're going to win this one easy. And nothing's changed my opinion about that, especially after last night.
The one thing, if I was, you know, a Houston fan, sure, Altuve did hit the home run.
His buzzer might have been working last night, too.
But
sorry, I'm going to keep doing that.
Here's the problem. Him, Bregman, and Correa, they were, what, 0 for 12 with a walk in game one? Even with Altuve's 2 for 5. You're still talking about 2 out of 13 last night, and both hits came off the bat. Well, no, 3 of 13, I'm sorry, as Correa got a hit. Bregman was 0 for the series so far. So that's something that those guys are too good of hitters to be held down the entire time, or at least you would think that would be the case. On the Atlanta side, you wonder what happens pitching-wise. You know, Max Fried has been their ace all year long. The last two starts, he's been in position to really – one, win the series against the Dodgers and got shelled. And then last night was in a spot to put Atlanta up 2-0, and he got hammered again. Four-run second inning was the difference in the game. He ended up going 5, but gave up 6 earned, struck out 6, and walked 1, whereas Urquidy went 5 innings with 2 earned runs, 7 Ks, and no walks. I was like you. I felt like Houston was going to win the series. Not easy. I think it would go 6 or 7, but I think they would end up winning it back at home. And I still feel that way. I don't think anybody's winning 3 in a row in Atlanta and ending that series in 5. So I think you're still going to see a 6 or 7 game series. And I think ultimately Houston is going to be able to win the thing. I just do. I'd rather see the Braves win, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Houston just has that too much pedigree. And I think that they've been able to – their bullpen has been really, really good most of the time in the playoffs. I think back to – what, game 4 of the ALCS, when it looked like Boston was going to explode again. They scored a couple of runs early, and then Houston's bullpen went like 7 straight shutout innings to keep them in there before the bats finally heated up and won the game. So I think there's an advantage there. Atlanta's bullpen was great against the Dodgers. The one thing is, and it's left-hand dominant, and Houston has struggled outside of last night. You know, it just we'll see what happens. But I'm the same way. I still think Houston wins. I think it's going to be 6 or 7 game series. But ultimately, I think the Astros are going to win. You know who's going to be there in game 4?
Is it Manfred?
No.
Who?
I'm sure Manfred will be there, which will...
Well, he should get booed, too.
Which will make people upset. No, no, no. 45.
Oh. Why?
President Trump will be there.
Okay.
In attendance to go watch baseball.
Oh.
He will be there in attendance to go watch the game.
You made it out like I thought somebody that that the Braves fans would not like.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Okay.
No, no. They're going to love him.
Gotcha.
They're going to love him being
gotcha.
There. And that's going to elicit you know what.
Right.
Yeah. The loudest FJB of all time.
Listen, they're not going to show him on the – well, it is on Fox, so maybe they will give him some screen time.
Oh, I got news for you. They're going to know he's in that stadium. There's no way they won't.
No, I know.
He'll go jump on the camera and point it at himself.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to happen. Right in the middle of a tomahawk chop, it's going to change from that to the loudest – most awesome dogging of a president of all time.
Yes, yes.
They may even play the Let's Go Brandon rap right before it happens.
Oh, my. I actually watched that last night for the first time.
It's pretty good, isn't it? The one by Bryson Green?
I guess that who it was. I don't know. I just Googled the song or whatever.
I'm amazed you could find it.
Oh, I found it. Yeah.
I tried to.
Really?
Yeah, this morning. It was difficult, more difficult than it should have been.
Yeah.
Anyways, that'll be fun. That'll be a fun side note to game four if he does show up. But all reports are that he'll be there to cheer on the Braves. Thunder last night. What a way to pick up your first win of the season. 123-115 over the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron didn't play. Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook did. Thunder trailed by 26 at one point in this game. It's the largest, a tie is the largest comeback in franchise history for OKC. The Lakers, going into last night, were 230-0, including playoff games, over the past 25 years when they had led by 25 or more points in a game.
Wow.
The courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info there.
It's a heck of a stat.
So their first loss in 231 games happened last night inside the Paycom Center with the Thunder coming back. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was fantastic. Josh Giddey was great. You know, as much of a disappointment, and you know, when you draft 18th, it's different than drafting 6th, but Poku has been a disappointment. It's one of those swing for the fences type picks that if it works, oh my gosh, what a genius. If it doesn't, it's like, okay, what a bum, but you know, you drafted 18, who else could you have got? At 6, it's a little bit different than that. You need to have a guy that can play basketball in the NBA. And so far, Josh Giddey, I think, has to have outplayed anybody's expectations for a guy that young stepping onto an NBA floor for the first time. He was great. He's been great. And it's not just one facet of the game. It feels like he knows how to play the game. He sees the floor. He makes easy, you know, he makes hard plays look easy. He plays defense. He has been really good so far. If you're a Thunder fan, that is one of those things. SGA started slow in the first couple of games. He's really turned it on the last two. Have that. You've got Giddey. Those are a couple of things. And then all of a sudden, Bazley showed up last night in that win. So,
yes, he did. You know, just ask Westbrook.
Yeah. So you've got some things there that are at least – and listen, people are so miserable online. I mean, there are going to be very few, very, very, very few times like last night where it's actually fun to watch the Thunder because they're not very good.
Right.
And these are going to be few and far between. So just enjoy a good stretch of basketball, even against Golden State in the loss. Played really well for 2.5 quarters.
Absolutely.
So those are the things you're going to have to pick out instead of just, oh, my God, we suck. And, you know, I've already seen people trying to fire the coach. I'm like, what is it? This is what he's supposed to be doing, you idiots. Pay attention. This isn't Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. I'm sorry. It's not yet. And it's not going to be this year. But you pick out those little things and the improvements. And so far, Giddey has been a revelation at that 6th pick when, let's be honest, nobody thought it was a good pick.
No, yeah. Listen, you mentioned seeing the floor with him. 10 assists led everybody for the Thunder. And that's what caught my eye was his passing. And to see the floor, to see the man open, to make that extra pass, I loved it. I also like the fact, I know this is a broken record statement, but they are the youngest team in the NBA, have been for the last couple years now. And all 5 starters scoring in double digits, mm-hmm. that I thought was huge. Because you know, sharing the ball. It's not relying on one guy, 2 guys, or 3 guys. It's not a super team. It's a young team that's going to grow. And you mentioned the fans. The fans need to grow with them. I think Coach Dagnall said something like that after the Golden State loss was, you know, we're going to grow and we need the fans to grow with us. It's basically what he was saying. Basically asking fans for patience in a nice way. But it was a nice win. It was fun. But honestly, could they have done that with LeBron James on the court?
Doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? It happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean about, yeah, there's plenty of things to pick apart, like the Lakers didn't do this or LeBron didn't play or what. Who cares? The point is the Thunder look like a capable basketball team and won a game.
Yeah.
Hooray, let's move on to the next one. You know what I'm saying? Just
about 15 to 20 times this year they're going to do that.
That's right.
You know, yeah. But that's it. But the positive thing is, you know, obviously SGA, sign him, you know, extending him, that's the catalyst of this team. Giddey was a great pick. You know, who knows how long Favors is going to be there. But, you know, Dort, you have to make a decision on him in the future. Keep this core together, Bazley. It's going to look something pretty special. Not so much this year, maybe not even next year, but it's a young team. You're going to watch them grow. I think they're going to be a salty team in the future. But, yeah, enjoy it while it lasts because it might be another 20 days before we do this again.
Yeah, that's the. There's going to be plenty of chances to talk about the negative throughout this season. I mean plenty. So when you get a chance to have a little bit of positivity about the thing, I just don't see the point of bringing up a bunch of negative. You know what I'm saying?
That's
all
what,
you can talk about most of the year.
That's the world we live in.
It is.
I mean, let's face it. Let's face it. That's the world we live in.
Let's talk about Russ. He had his sixth quadruple-double last night with 20 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, and 10 turnovers.
Oh.
That six quadruple-doubles is the most of any player since the three-point era started back in 1980. As a matter of fact, he's got double more than number two, which is James Harden with three of these. And then at the end, getting ejected with a second and a half left after Bazley stole an inbounds pass, went down and dunked it. Here's the thing.
Unwritten rules. Here we go.
It is. But here's my – and people grow and people are different as they get older and all that. I get it. But it's a little rich for me that Russell Westbrook is the one out there being a hard A about a play like that. Because I got news for you. Russell Westbrook at 20 years old in that situation not only steals it and dunks it, but the reaction after he did it would have been off the charts.
Yeah, yelling the crowd.
Yelling, pumping everybody up. Yeah. Basically dunks it and runs back the other way.
Right.
And then he was kind of like getting, like, why aren't the ball being thrown in as Russ was yelling at him and getting kicked out of the game.
Yeah, he was still in game mode.
Yeah. I mean, this is the youngest team in the NBA, and it's by leaps and bounds the youngest. Their first win of the year in front of their home fans. Listen, Russ, you're frustrated because you missed a three to tie it, and your team's losing to your old team, and you know that the Lakers are better than the Thunder. They shouldn't be losing this game. And all that boiled over. And it's just a bad look. And it continues to be a bad look for him. And here's his problem. See, he's never really been in a situation. And sure, he's been chastised by the national media a lot in his time in the NBA, but he's never really been under the scrutiny locally that he's going to be this year. Because here's his problem. No matter what, he's getting the blame. If the Lakers aren't able to win the title, it's going to be his fault, period.
Right.
Because he can't figure out a way to fit alongside LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
And so doing little things like this throughout the season is only going to make it harder for him to deal with it. Just take your loss, go to the locker room, give a high clap to the fans, thanks for the love you show me, and go on. Not get thrown out of the game looking like a spoiled child with a second left to go. It's just making it harder on yourself, bud. That's all you're doing. And it's going to be hard.
Like
because
we get it. We know he's a fiery guy. He fuels off of that. He's done that his entire career. We totally get that. But if he's getting onto a young kid for breaking a quote-unquote unwritten rule, da-da-da, that means you're a veteran. Act like one. You can go up there and say something to him. Hey, listen, son, this is what we don't do that in this league. But you don't need to be demonstrative like he was to get thrown out of the game. If you're gonna try to apply veteran unwritten rules, then act like a veteran. Don't act like a baby.
And that's the problem of all the gyms to do it in, and of all the teams to do it too.
Yeah, how awkward was that if you're a Thunder fan going, well, are we applauding that a guy got thrown out from the opposing team? By the way, it's the guy that's probably gonna have a statue outside the building in the next few years.
And he got booed as he was walking on the floor.
Was he
walking
booed,
off the
floor? Or were the fans like, hey, come on, don't throw him out?
I think he's getting booed just because, listen, he's not a Thunder anymore.
Totally.
But my point is, of all the teams for it to be easy to, he knows how to get around in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Underneath, outside the look of the camera. You know, if you want to do it that way, or you know good and well, he's got Bazley's number, text him or call him. Bro, come on, man. It's not a good look. But unfortunately, he chose none of those. And this has just kind of been the MO of Russ.
Yep.
His emotion takes over his game. And then he does, a lot of times it's just he does crazy stuff on the floor playing. This time he did crazy stuff on the floor in a game that they blew the largest, the first time the Lakers have blown a 25-point lead in 25 years.
Right.
Just makes him look silly.
Yes.
And all the negative that we've heard about him for all of his career – People will point back to this. I promise you. Yeah, we're right about Russ, because look what he did in Oklahoma City with a second left.
Yeah.
Because the guy dunked it.
Yeah, you're right. 2 o'clock's going to be fun today.
Oh, it's going to be. Listen, if you don't like Russell Westbrook, that'll be the show for you. College football weekend coming up. Don't forget to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. You've got till 11 o'clock. On Saturday morning when that Michigan State-Michigan game kicks off, Texas-Baylor also at that time, Iowa-Wisconsin. So 3 11 o'clock games in this week's group of picks. So don't forget to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. They can help you out with all your real estate needs. We appreciate them helping us out this year again with the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Some interesting games this week in that list. I have been trying to go against the grain all year long. Like for instance, there's a game here. 83% have picked one team. 17% have picked the other. Normally, if you're not talking about a spread, then you would go with the flow, right? I've been trying to go against the flow this entire time. And it really hasn't worked. The public has been right more often than not. Because if I see 75-25, I'm picking that 25 every time. Because people normally aren't that right when it comes to spread, to the spread, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so far, that has not been a great strategy. That's why I'm 6 games under .500. Feels like I've lost every one of those.
Which one was that?
There's a bunch of them.
I haven't even picked. Now I'm looking.
Well, there's one that's 79-21. There's one that's 74-26. There's one that's 79-29 or 71-29. There's one that's 83-17. Normally, here's a 77-23. Normally, if you side with the 20%, you're going to win a lot more often than you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Spread against the spread. Maybe not the outright winner, but against the spread you do. That hasn't been the case this year. A lot of those big-time public favorites have won, and won the covered whatever the spread was. So my strategy may be flawed in this year's college pick'em. Clearly is. I'm 6 under .500. But that's nothing a 10-0 can't fix.
Well, good luck with that.
You know, it's just as easy to go 0-10 as it is 10-0.
Yes, it is.
Or just as hard.
Some of these spreads are... Well, like some of the spreads versus the public's pick, like the hardest game to pick is Michigan State, right? Michigan the favorite, but it's at Michigan State. Am I right?
Home underdog.
Home dog, but the public loves Michigan State. But man, I thought Nebraska would beat Michigan, and they gave a little bit of a fight. But Michigan just looks like this well-round, solid team. They're not flashy, but they're getting the job done. Kind of like my Demon Deacons, but...
Oh, my Lord. What did I just hear? You've adopted the Demon Deacons as your own?
No, I'm just saying. I'm ready to... when I claimed them as being a good team in the ACC that could make a push, could cause some chaos, I'd like to say I made that call a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Just saying.
But couldn't you see Michigan winning this game by 3?
Couldn't you see Michigan State winning this game by 3?
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's why the spread's the 4.5.
It would be 4.5, yeah.
Exactly. That's why people...
I can see that. I can see where the lean is there. I understand. Yeah, I can see that going down the wire. A classic Big Ten 20-17 win for Michigan. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think...
Anything like Ole Miss is a dog against Auburn.
Mm-hmm. It's at Auburn.
I got Ole Miss winning that one straight up.
Well, then you will be a winner.
Exactly. But why are they a dog? Just because it's at Auburn?
It's at Auburn. And listen, Auburn's quietly 5-2.
Well, listen, when you've lost 2 games already in the SEC, no one pays attention anymore. Unless you're Alabama.
I had a text. Did you happen to see the time of possession for your Demon Deacons last week?
No.
Against Army? Final score was 70-56. Just give a guess. What do you think the time, the difference in time of possession was? Or 60 minutes total, obviously.
I'm going to guess Army held on to that ball as much as they could.
That would be a fair guess. How about 42 minutes and 43 seconds versus 17-17?
Well, listen,
so they scored 70 points in 17 minutes of possession.
Well, even in high or college, if you're scoring a 70 points, you're scoring in a hurry. So that made me
think
that they
score
got
fast,
some big
yeah.
plays in a hurry. Three-play drives, something like that. I have to look at their drive chart.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Let's see. They ran 52 plays. My Lord. It's like a point, 1.3 points per play. Holy hey, Moses.
Wake Forest, man.
15.8 yards per pass, 7.8 yards per rush. Listen, Army had some really nice stats, too. Army had almost 600 yards of offense. Your Demon Deacons had 638 yards in 17 minutes.
Can you average that out, a yard a minute?
It's like 4 yards a minute, because 4 times 17 is 68. So, that's pretty incredible.
How many yards again, total?
638.
Whoops. Of course I got to do the math.
That's like 3.6 yards a minute.
Ah.
No, wait a minute.
638.
I'm sorry, 30.
Yeah, it's 30. Yeah,
yeah 30, not 3.
638 by 37 and a half.
There you go.
37 and a half yards
yeah,
per
three,
minute.
Yeah, I was thinking 3.6, so 37. Move the decimal. 37 yards a minute.
That's
getting her done.
That's pretty good offense.
It's getting her done. 23 of 29 for 458 and 5 touchdowns. That's pretty good. From the quarterback, S. Hartman. You know what his first name is?
No.
Well, you're going to need to learn your quarterback's name if they're going to be your team.
Hartman?
Sam Hartman.
Sam Hartman, okay.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, sophomore, 6'1", 208. Anyhow, yeah, the Demon Deacons are rolling on offense. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of rolling on offense, you know, Oklahoma State hosting Kansas. Spencer Sanders, he was fantastic in that loss against Iowa State last week. 14 of 25 for 225 and 3 touchdowns. The pass to Tay Martin there in the third quarter, or maybe the early fourth quarter, I guess it was, in the corner of the end zone. Probably the best throw he's ever made as a Cowboy. Just a perfect, perfect throw that put OSU back up 21-17 at the time. He played great, and I think in the just like we talked about very little last week going into the Oklahoma-Kansas game, listen, OSU's going to win this game. We all know they're going to win. It'd be nice to look better than the Sooners did for sure, and I think a big part of that is for Spencer Sanders to continue to play well. He's, I think, probably exceeded expectations for the season, or at least what you're hoping for him to do. I think he's done. Outside of the Baylor game, which they were able to overcome his three turnovers to win, he hasn't had games like that. He hasn't made those fatal mistakes that kind of mired the early part of his career. He didn't do it last week. He was fantastic last week. So just kind of continue that, and then obviously the defense just stay awake. Because OSU's defense has been really, really good this year. Kansas's offense, outside of one game, has been really, really bad this year. So Oklahoma State, just be awake. And I think being homecoming, you know, a lot of times that's kind of a distraction, I think, especially at high school level. But I think the way that they view homecoming up there at Oklahoma State, I think helps them pay attention. You know what I mean? And I don't think you'll see them sleepwalking in this game. So I think Oklahoma State handles Kansas
easily. The best thing for Oklahoma State is
maybe even last week.
Exactly. Look at the film last week against OU and go, this is what they do. Though, you know, so that got their attention. If OU had come out and did what everybody thought they'd do and just drum them, then OSU might overlook them. But, I mean, it's Kansas. It's, you know, come on. But, yeah, I think that was a positive for OSU with how Kansas performed against OU. Now you got their attention. You know, there's the rallying cry a little bit. Plus, you know, you guys don't want to lose two in a row. You know, they're going to be ready for this one. Take care of it. And then Spencer Sanders, like, to your point, he is as it finally clicked for him. You know, it kind of looks like that.
It does.
You know, how to take care of the football, when to make the pass, when you should pass, all that stuff. Don't throw it in the double or triple coverage. Don't force anything. Hold on to the football. And I think that's credit to Mike Gundy early in the year, taking care of his quarterback, putting him in better non-pressure situations to loosen him up, to gain his confidence, to where when you have to have him make a pressure throw like he did against Iowa State and take care of the football, you're going to trust him more. So Gundy was, you know, kind of re-earning his trust, you know, getting his trust back for Spencer Sanders. I think that'll continue. Obviously, Kansas shouldn't be a problem. But moving forward, especially when Bedlam looms in a few weeks, he's going to be more trusting of Spencer Sanders to make the big play.
Yeah, I actually think in my mind, if they had to do it all over again, if you had the crystal ball going in, it felt like OSU was doing all they could to protect him, to maybe not trusting him to begin the game against an Iowa State defense. But as it moved along, it was almost like it was a little bit too little too late. Hey, wait a minute, Spencer's playing great. Let's go.
Right.
It was just a little too late because Oklahoma State's running attack.
Well, they're like, yeah, well, what else
shut
we
down.
Got to lose here? We got to go. We got to do this. We got to call these plays for him, because if we don't, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, and for the first time in a while, the running attack wasn't the compliment that it has been.
But I think even in that loss, Gundy's walking away from going, you know what, I trust him now.
I do too.
I got more 100%. Trust for him to take care of the football. He's growing up.
100%. I could not agree more. I wonder if they're thinking to themselves, shoot, I wish we'd have kind of
opened it up earlier.
Opened it up a little bit quicker, you know, taking the reins off just a little quicker to be able to, especially in that third quarter when they could not get a first down.
Yeah.
You know, trust him just a little bit more at your own, you know, 31 when it's 3rd and 7. Trust him to take care of it and maybe hit a first down play that keeps the ball just a little longer, you know, and maybe go get some points that would have made the difference in that game. Down in Norman, Texas Tech comes to town. This is a fascinating game to me. I think the spread right now is like 19. Who would bet either side of this? Texas Tech doesn't have a coach. They fired Matt Wells this week after he went 13-17 in his 2.5-year stint in Lubbock. Heck, he's got his team right now this season, 5-3?
Yeah.
But they, you know, they jump out quick against Kansas State last week, 14-0, and then they can't hold on to that lead, lose by a point. I saw Trammell's article today, or maybe yesterday, his Scissor Tales. Did you see that?
I think I saw the headline. I'm not willing to pay to get past a paywall. Sorry.
We got to log in.
Okay. I've tried. It won't work. It only works on this computer.
Oh, really?
For me. I can't log on downstairs. I can't log in on my phone.
Maybe we got a number of spots. Anyway. It was the headline was, was Texas Tech's brass afraid of a Red Raider win in Norman and not being able to fire Matt Wells? Is that why they pulled the trigger this week? Because they got a bye week next week, which would seem like the perfect time to do such a thing. So were they so scared of beating OU
that
it would look bad to fire him after he beat OU and went to 6-3?
I don't care.
Bowl eligible and all of it.
I don't care. I think it's a bad look. I don't care when it is, who it is, what team it is. It's a bad look to fire a coach in the middle of the year. Nobody wins. It's ridiculous in my eyes. I can't stand it. It's not fair. Like USC, they fired coach two games in. You're telling the coach down. You tell Coach O, you can stay around for the rest of the season, but you're gone afterwards. I think it's a bad look. Stemming from the very top all the way down to the water boy. I cannot stand it. So, but that's what they do in Texas Tech, right? I mean, they fired Mike Leach for crying out loud because the daddy got mad. I don't care if they beat OU and then they fire. It doesn't look good. So I think what I'm saying is it's a moot point. I think no matter what time of the year, what time of the season it is, it's a bad look to fire a coach. It's a horrible look. Plus, fire a coach that haven't given you a winning season. Sorry, Texas Tech. You weren't going undefeated this year. He was building a program. You didn't give him enough time. He was 5-3, and he was moving forward with this program. It's a bad look. I wish nothing but the bad stuff for Texas Tech. It's stupid.
Well, they say no, trying to get in front of all the other hirings that are going to be done. Obviously, the one name that makes – a ton of sense. That'll become more hot as the year goes on if his Mustangs continue to win. Sonny Dykes is the obvious answer just from a outside looking in.
Oh, the pedigree there.
The pedigree with his dad, and he plays the type of football they want to play. And that I think at the end of the day, the problem for Matt Wells was he wasn't a Mike Leach type of guy. He didn't. That's what they want, which is really interesting because they fired Mike Leach all those years ago. But since they did it, you know, Cliff didn't work out, and then he went to the NFL. And then they try, you know, some faction thinks, okay, let's go a different way. But obviously the money still wants it to be the pass happy air raid Texas Tech that they knew and loved under Mike Leach. Sonny Dykes obviously fits that bill with the offense he's running at SMU and just kind of the way that he coaches football and with the connection to his dad being, you know, the best or second best coach ever out there. Obviously Leach and Dykes are one and two. In the recent history, at least. But I was texting somebody that kind of has an idea. I said, not so fast. And it's not from the Tech side. It's from his side. Don't know if he would go out there, which is interesting. I don't know if it's a kind of bad blood about the way the end of his dad happened, or if it's just, hey, I can probably do better than that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I know what you're saying.
Yes. And so,
Lubbock versus somewhere else?
Yeah.
I'll take somewhere else.
The one thing you got to be a little bit leery of, though, is, you know, he went out to Cal. That clearly wasn't a fit, man. It's not a fit. So you got to – sometimes, yeah, maybe it is Lubbock, but, man, do you fit there and you're going to have success. That'd be the one cautionary tale, I would say. But Sonny Dykes, also Jeff Traylor, who's got UTSA undefeated, former – Texas high school football coach, makes sense. Those type of guys make sense. It's got to be a Texas guy, right? At Tech. Has to be a Texas guy. So, I saw the way your eyes went, and there's the name. There is a name. Would they ever do it? I mean, you got to be thinking Art Briles, right?
Yes, they would. They absolutely would.
You never know.
They fire coaches in the middle of the year. They'll go hire this guy. Absolutely they would.
Arthur Briles. Boy, wouldn't that be wild. Okay, for his
pitiful son.
For the OU side of things, defense, you know, this looks like a game. Tech's offense has really struggled since Tyler Shough was hurt in the Texas game. Columbia's come in. He's been okay. But you know what? It almost doesn't matter because every single quarterback that Oklahoma's played comes out of the game looking better than when they went in. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's pretty interesting is Eric – Ezukanma?
Good luck. I don't know.
Ezukanma? Anyway, wide receiver.
Yeah.
He was like the leading wide receiver with Shao, mm-hmm. and he's been struggling without him. One catch, 3 yards, three catches, 23, and 5 for 76, no touchdowns. And he had 7 for 56 in like the first half of that Texas game, first quarter and a half, when Shao got hurt, and then that was the end of it. So Roderick Thompson is a good running back. It's just Oklahoma, until they look like they have a competent defense, there's no sense in saying that they will or won't.
Right.
Or that they will until they do it.
Did you take any stock of Lincoln Riley's presser the other day?
I don't care what they say.
Redmond said he doesn't do this, but he said Redmond will be back.
Yeah.
But that's the only one he can confirm.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think that is a thing. I really do. I think injuries on the defensive side is a thing. You got guys playing out of position. You got the depth has been messed with. So you get some of those guys back. I think it helps a little. I really do. But, yeah, you're right. But even when those guys were in there, those quarterbacks were still looking good. So we'll see. I mean, if they can get through this one and finally get to that bye week, you know, which I also – someone's been pointing that out to me.
Oh, yeah. Nine in a row. You don't play nine in a row very often.
That's a thing, too, I think. You got fatigue. You got guys are – man, here we go again. When are we going to get a break? Yeah, if they could take care of business at home against Tech, get to that bye week, see what happens the next few games. But, yeah, and you mentioned all that stuff with the quarterback with Texas Tech. And they're, I don't know. I mean, how will they look? I know that's on what you – you know, are they going to come out in a completely different look?
I mean, Sonny Cummings is going to be the coach.
Why would you do that, though? You know, switch things up. I don't know. It's but how many times have you seen that? You could prepare for a team that was coached by Matt Wells. How do you prepare for a team coached by Cumbie? Do you prepare the same way? Does Cumbie want to switch things up in midseason? That could be disastrous, or it could look like a genius. And you know what? They're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at OU.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting.
I just think from a mental standpoint, how are the Red Raiders coming in? Are they
mad because they lost their head coach?
Or are they, thank goodness
he's gone. I want to play for Sonny.
That's right.
I don't know.
Now we're throwing it around.
Yeah.
Skinny Kansas is a bye week. I couldn't agree. Listen, I couldn't agree more. It should be. All you got to do is show up.
Yeah, it should have been.
No doubt.
Well, they didn't show up.
Don't forget tomorrow, right off the top of the show, voice of the Clinton Red Tornadoes, Dennis Smith, will be joining us to preview the Elks and Clinton tomorrow night in the historic Tornado Bowl over there in Clinton. He's just a wealth of knowledge about Clinton football, and he'll get everybody kind of familiarized with what the Red Tornadoes have this season, what to expect tomorrow night in that Class 4A1 showdown between the Elks and the Red Tornadoes. NFL this week gets started tonight with an absolute showdown between the Packers and the Cardinals. 6-1 Green Bay heads out to the desert to face 7-0 Arizona. Arizona was dealt a tough blow yesterday. J.J. Watt was injured in the second quarter of that win against Houston last week. He's likely done for the season with season-ending shoulder surgery. On the Green Bay side this week, it doesn't look like Devontae Adams or Alan Lazard, a couple of the weapons in the receiving core, will be there for Aaron Rodgers. Both of those guys are in the COVID testing. So right now it doesn't look like that's happening for either one of those. So it takes a little bit maybe of the luster. But, you know, both of these teams are pretty similar. Offense has been great all year long. Defense is kind of coming around. But I think it'll be interesting to see what type of game this is. Is it going to be an absolute showdown and a shootout between two of the leading MVP candidates in Rodgers and Kyler? Or will the defenses kind of slow this thing down just a little bit?
I think we're going to have a close one no matter what. You know why? Because it's in prime time. The NFL has hit it out of the park. They've been really lucky at times with even bad game or bad teams playing against each other, but they've been entertaining games. So I think it's going to come down to the wire, final two-minute drive for somebody, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this one. So I don't know. To answer your question, I have no idea. I think the offenses shine, honestly. I think both offenses are too good to let the other's defense try to bog them down. So I could see a game, both teams scoring in the 30s, honestly.
Yeah, and these are one of those games where you see the greatness of Rodgers without, you know, obviously the best receiver in the league in Devontae Adams. And then Lazard kind of a complimentary. They are going to get, what's his name, Scandling Valdez or whatever. He's been out for a few weeks. He's supposed to come back. So that kind of helps out there. But it doesn't matter. I mean, there's that stat out there. Rodgers has thrown, one touchdown pass to a first-round draft pick in his whole career, and it hadn't mattered. He just makes guys around him better because he's such an incredible quarterback. And Arizona with Kyler, they've been awesome all year long. And so, yeah, I'm like you. I think you're looking 34-31, 38-35, something like that at the end of this one. And it should be tons of fun, and you're right. The night games in the NFL so far this season have just been tremendous. Crappy teams, great teams, it hadn't mattered.
No.
And when you set this up for week 8, you hope you get what you're getting.
Yeah.
There's that promise of, man, Green Bay, Arizona could be really good week 8 on Thursday. Guess what? It's going to be.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the other games. Sunday night could be a potential pitfall for our Dallas Cowboys.
It depends on
at
who
Minnesota.
Plays. There's been talk of even just resting Dak. Yeah, I would. Not from Dallas camp, from Talking Heads.
We'll tell them to quit talking. Yes. Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.